And a very pleasant good morning. Thank you for joining us on this tremendous Tuesday as we head out to work, school, and play. And I've been telling you we had a guest coming in or being on the line with us this morning from Washington. We're honored to have with us former coach and now U.S. Senator from Washington, and he serves the great state of Alabama, Coach Tommy Tuberville. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. Thank you so very much for joining us. We're honored to have you in with us today. And this is the first time we've had the pleasure of interviewing you.
Well, that's great. I hope it's not the last. It's, of course, it's interesting times, and we try to keep everybody abreast of what's going on in our great state and our great country. And you know, we're having some ups and downs right now, but I think we'll work through them.
Well, we're hoping that we do, and I'm sure we will, and we're honored to have you serving the great state of Alabama in Washington. And being there, you are serving on the Senate Armed Services Committee, and you've had an interesting tenure there.
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in a military family. My dad was military all the way and actually died on active duty. My brother was military. I didn't serve in the military because I barely missed Vietnam, and so this is my service to our state and our country. I really love the military. I think it's obviously been the best this world has ever seen, and we're trying to keep it that way.
I understand, and we're glad that you're working hard to that end. And being a part of that, I see that here recently you decided to put on hold some appointments there. Talk to us a little bit about that. The Department of Defense holds that you've been placing on U.S. Department of Defense civilian and flag officers.
Yeah, the only thing you have as a senator when you're in a minority, which right now Republicans are in the minority, is you can put holds on nominations, and you can't stop them. You just make them go through regular order where they have to go through committee and have to go one at a time on the floor. Well, in the past, generals and admirals have been just a 200 or 300 at a time, just kind of pass by and let them go through. And I'm fine with that as long as we have good flag officers. The problem that we're having at this time, though, is from the White House. They are delegating and legislating from the Department of Defense and Joe Biden's group. They're running laws through the Department of Defense without going through Congress, and they have a new, now we've had an abortion law in the military. It's never been contested or any complaints, three exceptions, rape, incest, and harm to the mom. Well, since Roe Wade, the Biden administration's been trying to find any possible way they can to make sure that they push abortion through this White House. And so what they've done now is they just opened up abortion in the military to their dependents, and everybody involved, and taxpayers are having to fund this. Well, there's a law that says taxpayers do not have to fund abortions in this country. It's called the Hyde Amendment. So I told them if they did this and changed this policy without going through Congress, I'd put a hold on their flagship officers, and they did. They put the policy into effect, so we're having kind of a standoff right now, and we'll see what happens.
Will it give you enough leverage to get something done with that through the Pentagon?
I hope, because American taxpayers, a lot of people don't believe in abortion, and especially in our state. And listen, if they do it through regular order, in other words, if they go through the right process, hey, it is what it is. That's what this country is. It's a democracy. And so they're not doing that. They're just this administration, Biden administration, is kind of doing stuff on their own and think they can do it on their own without using Congress. And I told the Department of Defense and Secretary Austin, hey, you weren't elected to Congress. We were. That'd probably pass if you send it through us, but I'm just not going to let you just blanket run right over us. So that's where we're at, and you know, that's how you kind of play the game in D.C. is use the power that you have when you're in the minority or the majority and try to get things done.
Right. Also, while you're in Washington, you're serving on the Ag Committee, Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee. Recently, you've had some guests up there to testify before Congress from Northeast Alabama. Talk to us about that just a moment, Senator.
Well, of course, ag is huge to the state of Alabama, and every year, every 5 years, you have what we call a farm bill, and you pass it, and it's the bill that actually helps the farmer survive, and with its bad weather, climate, catastrophe, and so right now, this is the year of 5 years that we're putting together, and so we're bringing people up for hearings, and now I'm on the several subcommittees on ag. One is ranking member. I'm in charge of the rural area and broadband of the ag committee. So we're trying to do as much as we possibly can to help the rural farmers and rural residents of the state of Alabama and other states get broadband, because right now we're way behind. This country has kind of drug its feet on helping people in rural areas. So right now we're trying to work the farm bill. We're trying to help on crop insurance for our farmers because they need to be protected. And we're also trying to help with broadband to try to help people, not just farmers, but other people in rural areas have the access to internet that we obviously saw during COVID that very much needed.
Absolutely. And of course, that'll give the farmers, they have the cutting edge technology and farm equipment, but if they had the broadband to go with it, that would give them that much more access. Now, the gentleman that you had up there last week, I believe it was, is from Rainesville, and he testified before your committee up there about broadband and what they've done in Rainesville to deliver gigabyte service to a large area.
Exactly. And, you know, Fred Johnson did a great job. You know, he came up and explained the things that we see in our rural area of the state and what they've done to help people in the northeast part of the state around Rainesville and Fort Payne, Fife, and some of those areas. Kind of fill in the blanks on broadband, and they've done a good job. So we're just looking for people that have been successful, that make progress in broadband. It's going to be very expensive, but it's also something that we have to do to help our people in rural areas in the state of Alabama.
Absolutely. And these broadband providers, I know, working hard to deliver, and with the assistance and partnerships through private and governmental entities, hopefully it will be able to be delivered not too distant future.
Well, and it's all about laying line. And everybody wonders, you know, why has the rural areas been kept out? Because the homes and the businesses are so far apart. You know, this is very expensive to run fiber, to run the optics underground or whatever. Now, in the future, we might have opportunities to get internet through satellite connections over the years. But right now, to get the best internet you can possibly get, we need to run more fiber optic to down some of these long roads to these farms, because we've got a lot of big farms, and not just in our state, but all over the country. So it's pretty complicated. It's going to be fairly expensive, but, you know, we spend money on everything else in Washington, D.C. Most is not necessary, but this is necessary. We need broadband for our country.
And what do you foresee coming up in the near future in the Senate?
Well, it's, right now we're fighting to try to get this debt paid off. You know, we've dug ourselves a hole. This country has got huge problems with spending, and we've got to stop spending. We've got way too many people that's sitting around and not working and collecting a paycheck, and that can't be the norm for the future. We can't afford it. Now, we need to take care of people that need money, that have handicap or elderly, Medicaid, Social Security, all those will be taken care of. But the problem we're having right now is we have so many people in this country that don't want to work. They haven't gone back to work since COVID, and they kind of like getting that paycheck and let other people pay for their well-being. Well, this country can't afford that. We got way too many bills to pay. We got way too many jobs that need to be filled. you know, because of after COVID, a lot of people hadn't gone back to work. Joe Biden and his administration are just trying to spend money and pay for people to sit at home because they want power over them. But as a Republican, as a true American, and believing, you know, that work by the American people, hard work that we've done to build this great country, we've got to get back to work and make sure this country and everybody does their fair share.
Senator, we have about two more minutes. Tell us what your thoughts are on this budget. I know that the Republican House has sent over a budget and willing to compromise some, but the present administration's not willing to negotiate, or it doesn't appear to be right now. What do you see? Do you think that there'll be a default, or do you think we'll have a compromise?
Well, we need to pay our bills. You know, we spend it, we pay it. I mean, that's the American way. That's what all people should learn, but of course, all people hadn't learned that. But we've got a total divide and this disbelief of two different ways to run our country. One is to just print money and spend it and tell everybody we're going to take care of them. At the end of the day, we're going to run into a wall, or we do it like we've done for the last 250 years. Go to work, pay our taxes, be self-sufficient, but pay our bills. And we are almost $32 trillion in debt. We can't sustain that. That if we continue down this path, we're going to crash and burn as an economy. We can't allow that to happen. So hopefully the Democrats will come to realization that we can't just continue to spend money. The problem is they want to get reelected, and they feel like if we'll do enough to let people know we're taking care of them, we'll get their vote. And that's exactly the opposite of what we need to be doing. Everybody needs to be responsible for their own actions and take care of their own problems. And politicians need to get the heck out of the way.
And there's billions of dollars that's being paid on the country's debt. It's huge. And so we can't spend our way out of debt. We were taught that in high school.
Yeah, we're $500 billion a year interest on our debt, which is absolutely embarrassing to a country that's as generous as we are. But again, we need to take care of the right people, but we got a huge amount of people in this country that just wants to sit on the sideline and not do any work. And that's the reason the Republicans in the House put work requirements and food stamps and welfare for people that can go out and work. And you know, we have got to hold the Biden administration and Democrats accountable for this, because our kids and grandkids can't afford the debt that we're digging this big hole for.
Thank you, Senator, for being with us today. I know you've got to go. I know you've got a very busy schedule, but thank you for taking time from that schedule to share with us in Northeast Alabama about some of the things going on in Washington.
Well, I appreciate it. We got huge problems, but we're a great country. We just need to keep working hard. We need to lean on God, education, and this country, and we'll be fine.
Thank you so very much. We look forward to having you back on in the near future on WEIS. Senator Tommy Tuberville, live from Washington this morning on WEIS.